Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. And we are live today, May 15th, 2012, episode 403. Today's episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha. Good morning, Horse World.
Good Tuesday morning to you. And I do mean a good Tuesday morning.
Well, if you insist on being accurate about it.
Somebody with perfect comedic timing could produce this much energy in one shot.
You gotta learn that your time in the saddle ain't as rough as the life in between. And the fence isn't there for you to straddle. And you can't change horses in the middle of your dream.
I am so sorry. I'm not going to be with you guys for a couple minutes because I am currently booking my hotel room in Sevilla, Spain, because I need to have a hotel room for Saturday night. It's going to be like June. Let's see, what day are we looking at booking here? June 2nd. That is after we leave the Royal Andalusian Farm. And then we're about to go to Portugal for our second week. So I'm sorry I'm a little bit busy today. I'm swamped with vacation planning.
We're 2 weeks away. Are you in vacation mode already? Are you going to be completely useless the next 2 weeks?
I cannot confirm nor deny because I will have moments of clarity. But for the most part, like, I need a hotel room near the train station because as we're getting a rental car, so I'm like trying to map the train station and then going to booking.com, which is a great website to book your hotels off of for anybody who cares.
What's it called?
I'm going to stop. Booking.com.
What? Oh, I never tried that one.
Well, Glenn, it's because it's mostly international.
Yeah. For the jet setters out there.
They have everything. It's great. So what you do is you go to booking.com and you find your hotel room there, and then you see what the price is, and then you contact the hotel directly, and then you can usually get a better price. So no endorsements here for booking.com. Just gives you a good idea.
Well, I have to try that sometime. I never tried it. Now, is this your first trip with Chad that you're going overseas, like, for a long period of time?
Well, you know what? If I can just tell you how spoiled and ridiculous my husband is, how awesome he is. See, he's military, so he travels overseas all the time. Like, he's been everywhere. I mean, he's been to, like, New Zealand, Australia, just through work. And so traveling overseas is no big deal to him. To me, it is, like, the, like, life-changing epitome of, like, my lifetime trip. And then he took me to Rome, Italy, when we were dating. And we've been living together for about a year and dating for about a year and a half, and took me to Rome, Italy, and then proposed in the Piazza Navona at midnight. I mean, yeah. So that's the other time we've been out of town.
You are so spoiled rotten.
I know. He's so great.
You are spoiled rotten.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that was a no-brainer. If you had said no at midnight in Rome, Italy, I think that lightning would have struck you dead immediately.
Oh, my God. I didn't even believe him when he did it. I was like, are you serious? I was like, no, I'm sitting here in Rome, Italy, on one knee with a ring in my hand, and I'm not serious. I just can't believe it. So, yeah, I said yes.
I can hear him saying that, too.
Then I started crying, and I don't remember anything after that. But it's not about that. Anyway, I've got some awesome news coming up in the Daily Whinny. I cannot wait to, and you've got the audio for me for this thing, so we're going to talk about that. So Jennifer, tell us what is on today's show. Keep us busy because I'm at booking.com right now.
On today's Omega Alpha National Eat Oreo Cookies for Breakfast Day edition, we'll break
Woo-hoo!
Into the new week. I'll be at a day
late.
Is
that a real day? Hold on. Is that a real day? Is that really today?
So, yeah, today's National Eat Oreo Cookies for Breakfast Day because I did it this morning and it was so fantastic. I thought everybody should. So it's National Eat Oreo Cookies for Breakfast Day.
Well, you have just made
it.
Cut. All right.
Go
now,
on.
Keep that in mind, Glenn. If you need to wrench Jamie away from something, mention Oreo
Apparently,
cookies.
Apparently, Oreo cookies, yeah.
Heck yeah, I'm listening now. Go ahead.
We will break into the week, albeit a day late, by chatting with Carrie Vaught from the Hunter Jumper Association about a nifty new program we came across the other day called Click in a Box. And following our typical Tuesday musical respite, the velvety voice of Horse and Country TV, Victoria Spicer, will dispense a dab of online equestrian edutainment. So stay tuned for the fracas, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Well, and after our Daily Whinnies, Jamie, I have a rescue story for you. Jennifer and I had a rescue this weekend, so we'll tell you all about that, too. But first... My Daily Whinny goes out to Leslie Wiley, of course, of HorseNation.com. She comes on every Monday, and a while back, a couple of weeks ago, she told us a little bit about her wedding that was coming up. She got married last week and did her honeymoon last week and everything. She told us a little bit about her wedding coming up, and she talked about these shoes that she showed us a picture of that were these sort of white shoes, if I remember right, with these fire flames on them, bright red fire flames on them. And they kind of look like stripper shoes.
They were right? not stripper shoes, Glenn. They were 5-inch pumps that were gold, sparkly, glittery gold that had red flames in glittery, sparkly red licking up the sides of them. It was just, they were fantastic. Fantastic
well,
shoes. And Glenn
and
did
then
not
I do. Kept saying, you're not wearing these stripper shoes to your wedding, are you? And apparently she posted a picture on our Facebook page over the weekend. If you want to see it, go ahead, of her in her wedding dress wearing her stripper shoes. So apparently she did wear the stripper shoes. And she posted, just wanted to let you know, Glenn, that I did not take your shoe advice and it was hot. So there
yeah.
you go. And actually it kind of did look good with the dress, I have to admit. So there you go. Ladies out there, stripper shoes are approved for your wedding.
They're not stripper shoes. All right, well, my Daily Whinny goes to a wonderful mare named Black Caviar, who won her 21st straight victory on Saturday. And this was her final race before she heads to England. She's going international to the Royal Ascot. So let's hear the race, shall we?
$500,000 Group 1, the Goodwood. The runners are all in. They are set to go. Racing. And catapulted, missed the start by a couple of lengths. And Black Caviar was out well. Goes up to Eyeball, the early leader, Outlandish Lad, and we hold the ace. And the Great Mare's going to lead. Streetcar Magic's outside of her, being followed by Go the Knuckle. Catapulted getting along the inside. We're going to rock was wider. There's no pace on at all. Further back came Stands Out towards the tail end of the field as they race on towards the 600. We hold the ace, the 300-1 outsider. Black Caviar has the neck. Now the body in front. She goes clear. Then Streetcar Magic from Outlandish Lad. Further back came Go the Knuckle. Catapulted along the inside and Sterling Grove is wider as they make the home turn. Then came out wider on the track. We're going to rock at the 350. It's Black Caviar leading about a half length in front of Streetcar Magic. Nolan sits quietly down the outside. We're going to rock's coming home well. Black Caviar two in front. We're going to rock's up to second. Sterling Grove goes to third. He hasn't moved on Black Caviar. Black Caviar, the equine superstar of the world. And that's 21 today. Won by a length and a half. We're going to rock was gallop. What a great run. Third, Sterling Grove, five away. Fourth.
Woohoo! Now, tell me this mare does not know where the finish line is. They said that she started to slow down a little bit in the articles about it as she was heading to the finish line. Like, honey, okay, don't do that. keep going. Don't start to slow down. You were just a length and a half ahead. But she's actually going to be part of the Global Sprint Challenge. The final day of the Royal Meeting is one of the races. And then she could race a second time on Britain and Britain on July 14th at Newmarket. Now, this is an awesome, awesome quote. So apparently an English media report suggested that Black Caviar she's beaten no major international horses in Australia. And, you know, she really has to win in England to prove herself. First of all, I will punch you in the mouth. Okay. Prove herself. She is 21-0. You do anything successfully 21 times, stupid English media guy. So this is the response from the trainer. Okay. Here he goes. Peter Moody. You've never seen anything like this horse before, and it would be an absolute tragedy if she went there and got beaten by your B-grade sprinters for half the
price
after traveling, I know, after traveling three-quarters of the way around the world. And Peter Moody, you're right, my friend. You are right.
Trainer, exactly.
Making some drama for your mama. I love it.
Well, you know, there's not a lot of love lost between a lot of Aussies and a lot of British anyway. So this is going to be very, very interesting.
It's going to be good. Well, it's such an amazing mare. I mean, she's 21-0. It's just ridiculous. So congratulations to her. Woohoo!
Something caught me, and I don't know if you heard this, in that race call. Did he say that the one horse was 300-1?
I don't know. I didn't hear that, but I do know that Black Caviar went off at $1.04-1. So you win 4 pennies.
What's 4 cents?
So if you put I put $2 down on this horse to win, you'd win 8 cents.
That means there was somebody, some sorry sucker, that was betting on some other horse to win. One guy.
Yeah.
In the last guy in. Yeah.
Somebody's like, what is this Black Caviar thing everybody's talking about? I'm going with Run for the Roses or whatever.
That's funny.
Yeah, you lost.
Well, that's cool. Congratulations. That'll be fun. Well, we're watching that. We have a lot more news for you here in a minute. But I first have to tell you that you're not the only one that doesn't get any respect on this show. And I wanted to mention that our chat room is open.
Wait, what? I don't get any respect on the show.
Well, what I meant was, wait a second, you'll see what I mean. But I first have to mention, Jennifer's reminding me, I have to mention that our chat room is open. We tried the chat room last week. So if you want to stop by there, just go to blogtalkradio.com. Look for Horses in the Morning there on the homepage. Click on it, and you'll find the chat room. Also, we posted a link to it on our Facebook page. You can get to it through our Facebook page as well. Glenn Forrester's in there already, so... We're glad you're here, Glenn, and a couple others popping in. So we would love to have you in the chat room. What I meant was you don't get any respect in the chat room. You were all upset last week because people kept busting on you. And on Facebook, occasionally, they take shots at Jamie because you're an easy target. But this weekend, I did it. Let me read this to you because it's kind of interesting, kind of funny, because the kind of respect I'm getting. I wrote, oh, my God, we are turning into Jamie. This was Saturday morning. We are turning into Jamie. We had our own rescue night. We had our own rescue last night. Tell you all about it next week, Glenn. So Nancy chimes in. Well, that's a heck of a tease. And then Tom comes and says, Nancy, Glenn's got ADD. It will take Jen all weekend to explain to him what happened. Rhonda then chimes in. I hope it doesn't take Glenn all week to tell us what happened. Thanks, Rhonda. Judy chimes in. Can't wait to hear all the details. And then Glenn Forrester chimes in and says, by Tuesday, he will have forgotten all about it. Well, screw you all.
Glenn!
I'm here to tell you all about it right now.
I love it. Okay, please tell me, please, because all I've heard is we had a rescue. We had a rescue, just like Jamie does. We had a rescue.
Jennifer's going to post a picture on Facebook, and she can do that right now. In-laws were here over last week, and we went to Five Guys Burgers and Fries to take them there on Friday night. And we're sitting at Five Guys, which is on a 6-lane divided highway. and not a divided highway, just a six-lane highway, I'm sorry. And across the street is this big field and then a hospital. No. And she's staring at something, and I'm going, okay, what's going on? I finally asked her what's going on. She said, there's something out in that field over there, and it looks like maybe there are a couple little dogs or some groundhogs or gophers or whatever. And there was this crow sitting like 10 feet away from him, just staring him down. And she said, that can't be good, whatever that is. The crow's just got a bead on him. So I said, well, I'll just go outside and see if I can get a better look, because we really couldn't see. So I walked out to the road and I looked across, and there's these little tiny ears sticking up. They looked much smaller when you got closer, actually. And these little tiny ears sticking up. And I went back in and I got Jennifer and I said, we have to go because we can't just let them there. She said, what are they? I said, well, they're little, like, 4 or 5 week old kittens that had apparently gotten away from mama, like, in the middle of this field heading toward the highway. And with this crow keeping watch over them the whole time, just staring at them, waiting for one of them to die, I guess. So we go across the highway, you know, trying not to get killed crossing the six-lane highway. And we get over there, and these little kittens, probably 4 or 5 weeks old, and we picked them up, and they hadn't drank in a while, and they hadn't eaten in a while, and they were probably one day away from death. It was hot out. And they would have been 10 minutes away from death if the direction they were going towards the road. So we scooped them up, and they were dirty gross, let me tell you. They'd have been out in the wild for a while. They were feral. And we take him back, and I tell my father-in-law, go into Five Guys and get a box. So he had to go in there and beg him for a box. So they come out with this French fry box, and we put him in the box, and we bring him home, and we take him, and we feed him, and they ate like crazy. I mean, they were hungry. They were chowing down food, drank water. So we kept him in a box all night because there's one place that you don't put a little kitten, and that's in our house with the beast. Because I'm not sure a little kitten is 5 in the evening with the beast. You've met the beast. We were not trusting putting kittens with the beast. We weren't sure. And Glory the Greyhound really was sniffing up the box, too. So I'm not sure how that would have all went. So we knew we couldn't keep these little feral kittens, which, by the way, the one of them, the little yellow one, we had a yellow one and a multicolored one, and you'll see the picture there on Facebook. We knew we couldn't keep them, so we thought, well, the next morning, we have a no-kill shelter here, so we'll bring them out to the no-kill shelter. Well, let me tell you, Jamie, that's not as easy as it sounds. So for our good deed, we bring them out to the no-kill shelter, and we walk in, and the lady there says, oh, we don't have room for them. And Jennifer does her best, Jennifer, and, you know, says, well, why don't you at least, you know, take them? We found them, blah, blah, blah. She went on and on and on. The lady finally gives in a little bit and says, well, I'll have to test them for feline leukemia first. So that takes 45 minutes. And she comes back. And, by the way, when she comes back after testing them, the kitties are crawling all over her shoulders. So she warmed up to them a little bit because the first thing she said when we opened the box is, well, they're feral cats. And we were like, yeah, we know that. So she takes them back, gets a test. She comes back out and says, good news, they're positive. And by then, she had bonded with them, and that was it. The thing I
Wait,
found
they're positive? Wait, you mean right. They were negative for feline?
They did not have leukemia. So they did end up taking. One of the disgusting things about this whole thing, now, this is a proper humane society no-kill shelter. This lady is in there working, and she is kissing all over these feral kittens. And I don't know if that bothers you, but, you know, she's in there working, and she's kissing all over these kittens. And
like
going,
kissing them, like, in the mouth or something?
On their faces, and, yeah. Kind of disturbing, actually, I got to thinking after. But, yeah, so that was... So they ended up did take them, but I got to thinking that took us an hour, by the way, to get them to finally accept the kittens. I got to thinking if they don't take these kittens, then what do we do? Because the beast would not put up with kittens. We can't have outdoor cats here because the hawks get them or the coyotes get them. So nobody has outdoor cats here. So it's just like, what do you do then? You know. So here we are being good Samaritans and we did our civic duty. And then it was like, oh, now we got to find homes for these kittens. Or then what do you do if they have leukemia and they don't take them? So it's like, oh, man, this rescuing thing, Jamie, I know now why it is so difficult. I know
so
why
you
don't.
Something. First of all, but big, you know, huge round of applause to you guys for rescuing him. You know, it's not every person in the world that's going to see kittens on the side of the road and stop and go scoop them up and put them in a fry box, okay? So not everybody does that. So really, really pleased that you guys did that. That is where the similarity in our story ended. Because, yes, I would have scooped him up. However, I would be sitting doing the broadcasting with one on my shoulder and one in my lap. So, again, I'm proud of you guys because the more you find homes for, the more you can rescue again. Like, if you had these two cats at home and you saw more cats, you'd be like, oh, my God, I can't take any more cats.
Let me put it this way. The kitties would have had a better chance on the six-lane highway than with our cat at home.
Maybe he would have bonded. He's not the forever, like, worst cat in the world. He's a nice kitty. So, but yes, congratulations, you guys, for stopping getting kitties. I am so proud of you. And who was the one who was like, we have to get him? I have to
Jennifer,
go first. You
Jennifer,
or Jen?
Tell Jamie the truth. Who was the one?
Well, Glenn's the one that walked outside, and he walked back, and I, before he even came back into the restaurant, the look on his face was, we must catch the kitten.
Aw, big hug, Glenn.
Yeah, but Glenn, the wimp, who had to go into the Humane Society and beg them to take the kittens?
I think if I had done it, Jennifer, they would not have taken the kittens. You're a better beggar. Do you see the picture, Jamie? Aren't they cute, though?
Oh, my God. They're adorable. Little tortie and a little orange tabby. Very, very, very cute. And they don't look really super freaked out when you're holding them.
Well, they were. I had to hold them quite a long time before the hissing and spitting stopped. Now, the little yellow one was much better at, you got warmed up much quicker. The little multicolored one there wasn't so happy about the whole situation at all.
Well, it looks like in the picture you're choking him out. I mean, my God, you got your hand wrapped around his neck. So,
that was to
avoid
getting scratched and bitten. That was.
So, how'd you catch him? Because anytime I try to catch a cat, it always ends up running away. And it doesn't matter what I do. I can sit there, kitty, 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 kitty. Nothing. Nothing ever works. I can never catch a cat.
These two were so, I think they were so emaciated. They definitely were emaciated and needed a drink that they were scared when we walked over to them. So they just hunkered down and tried to hide. Plus, they had the crow, you know, just off in the distance there, keeping a good eye on them. So.
I don't know if crows can salivate, but he looked, yeah, he was going, ooh, ooh, lunch.
So there was our good deed for the weekend.
Way to go, Jen and Glenn. So proud of you. Very well done.
We learned it from you, Jamie. We learned it from you. Although you're right. We would have, if proper Jamie technique would have been to lock up the beast, bring him in a house, and have him on our lap during the show this morning. That would have been the proper thing to do.
I mean, seriously, you should have bathed him, you should have neutered him and spayed him, and then you would have vaccinated them and spent about $400, and then you start looking for a home, maybe.
You're right. That's about right. And then I can tell you what else, too, real quick. We went down to the beach this weekend, just below Daytona Beach, a place called New Smyrna Beach. And what it's known for, well, I'll tell you, we were going out to dinner. It was Mother's Day, and that evening we were going out to dinner with Jennifer's family who were staying over there. And they said, oh, we got to go to this place. We have a half an hour. We'll go there first. And we take a ride down to this little park, and they said, on a good day, you'll see a manatee. Well, we pulled in, walked down to the water, and there were about 7 manatees feeding along the bank. So I have a picture of one of them that Jennifer's going to post. Not only that, in our 15 minutes we had to go check it out, we had all the manatees feeding. They were just there the whole time we were there. And then there were dolphins right 50 yards out that were feeding just out from the manatees. So that was kind of cool. That was kind of special to be able to see the manatees there and doing their thing. Because they said sometimes you go over, you don't see any. And we had a bunch of them. And they feed on the branches that are out of the water, and they come up out of the water, and it's kind of cool. They look like cow. They call them sea cows, and I can see why. Their snouts kind of look cow-like. But, yeah, that was kind of fun. I'd never seen them in the wild before.
Well, my mom lives on the St. John's River down in Florida, and I'm going to have to post this video of the sea cows. I've been to my mom's house 1,000 times and have never, and she's like, they have a dock and they live on the river. They're like, oh, the manatees float by all the time. We go out there and we feed them lettuce and they love to be sprayed with the hose and they'll play with you. And I'm like, you are a liar. There is no manatees in this whole river. Like, I've never seen them. I've been here 1,000 times and there is no manatee. There are none because I can't ever see them. So my brother's down there staying with my mom right now, and he's like, hey, I saw some manatees. So I'm going to post a video of my brother actually seeing manatees on our Facebook page right now, because it did not go so well for him. But I'll post it right now, and then you can watch it while we're doing the song or something like
okay.
that. You can check it out. It's only like 10 seconds long. But my brother, he called it the attack, is what he called
it.
Oh,
no.
Okay. Yes. Here.
I didn't know they did.
There. Okay. He got attacked by a manatee. I just posted it on our Facebook page. This is my brother and his alleged manatee attack. And you can watch
okay.
it again in 10 seconds.
Right. I'm totally going to watch. All right. I'm watching the alleged manatee attack. Oh.
You almost need volume, Glenn. You need volume to hear exactly what happened to him, because he's walking to my brother's
house. What happened? I couldn't tell.
Oh, you've got to listen to it. You have to hear the volume, because he walks out and he's like, look, Jamie, there's manatees. You know, and he's like, basically, ha-ha, there's manatees out here on the dock, and then he gets attacked by one. So you're lucky you made it out alive.
Yeah, these weren't attacking anybody. They were just eating leaves.
Yeah. Apparently, he said it came out of the water and ran at him on top of the water, followed him all the way down the dock to the house. And I was like, it did not. And he's like, dude, it was crazy. It was crazy.
First of all, they move at about 1 mile an hour. I doubt that happened.
But you can see he gets sprayed with the water in the video. I mean, it like came up at him. I'm like, animals hate you, Justin. This is my twin brother, and he animals hate him, and I love animals. So I think I got all of that gene. I think. But anyway, that's posted on Facebook now. Didn't mean to take away from your story there, but you're lucky you made it out alive with the manatees. From what I hear, they're pretty scary.
Yeah, just wild.
Just absolutely
just wild.
Wild.
Hey, we have a couple news stories if you... Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, speaking of wild, imagine that you're sitting in your house, you got your horses out in your pasture, and all of a sudden... you hear this noise, and from what it has been described as from reading, it's a sonic boom, but it lasted 45 seconds. So imagine the loudest boom you can imagine lasting up to 45 seconds to a minute. You think you'd be dead, like you think something blew up. Well, this guy, his name is Alan Egrot, who lives in the area, heard this sonic boom and contacted his neighbor. Hey Merv, something's outside, man, you need to go check it out. No, actually they probably didn't talk like that because it's California, but Merv DeHaas, who owns this land, walked outside after he heard the sonic boom. I'm sure he creeped outside, you know, and realized that his land had been hit by a meteorite.
Really?
Landed in his horse pasture. Okay, how crazy
is
that? Well, this is the same area where the first nugget of gold was found that sparked the gold rush in the 1800s. So he's like, Merv has got the meteorite in his pasture, man. So he calls, well, who else do you call? You call NASA. So, hey, NASA, I got a meteorite in my pasture. You want it? So apparently... the NASA has taken over this poor horse's pasture, and they're scouring the lands for, like, any tiny little bit of fragment, because Merv has kindly donated the entire thing to NASA. And he says that scientists say it's a rare type of meteor, and they have very few samples of this kind of material. It's like a new material that nobody has ever seen except for in the other meteorites, and it's this actual pretty big piece. So they're studying the meteor, they are really, they said that they have, the Haas family has welcomed NASA's involvement with open arms, and the Lunar Science Institute director, Yvonne Pendleton, says, "I want to express my personal gratitude to them. They should be commended for their contribution to scientific discovery." Well, Merv says, "Man, if I can do something for science, so be it. Come and get it." So he donated it.
Was anything said about the horse's mental being after that?
Oh, I am sure that if they were pregnant mares, they no longer are going to have normal babies. five-legged foals. I don't know.
Can you imagine if it landed in Jet's field? He wouldn't be right ever again. You'd have to put him out the pasture.
Oh, he would die. I trotted Jet in the desert 3 days ago, and he colicked that night because he was so stressed out. So, I mean,
especially
the horse,
meteor hitting his. Now, if it's a quarter horse, it'd be like, boom, what was that? And they'd be over investigating. You know, it wouldn't be any problem at all. But yeah, Jet would have been gone, like into the next state. He'd be in New Mexico by now. Yeah.
Yeah, he'd be like, "That's it, I've done, I've had it." He would have killed himself. He'd have been like, "I'm committing suicide, I just can't. Go on without me, world. I can't take it anymore." So, yeah, that would be undeniably stressful. Undeniably stressful.
Imagine, though, I never thought about the sound it makes. Never thought about that before.
Well, you think that, you know, they never actually make it into, pretty much into our atmosphere. So the fact that one was really, I mean, it must have been really big, and it kind of whittled down to this little teeny rock. I don't know how big it was because it did break up, I guess. But yeah, pretty crazy. But, you know, it's like the first thing you think is, I'll donate it to science. But the next thing I think is, how much can I make from this? Like,
that's actually.
Maybe
we'll donate.
I don't know, NASA. Well, how much money you've got in your pocket right now? I love it. Hey, let me go ahead and get to our ad before we get to our first guest. And I'd like to thank so much Omega Alpha for being a sponsor of today's show. And we all care about what we feed our horses more than what we feed ourselves. And Omega Alpha cares about what goes into your horses and ponies. And that's why they use natural formulations for enhancing your equine's health and performance. Now, all of their ingredients are non-testable, so they're not illegal. They're all very natural herbal products. And they really work. Like, just talking to Dr. Chang makes you feel smarter. He's going to come on our show in the next couple of weeks and talk to us a little bit more but about the science that goes into the products, because he is well-respected in the industry. He's a pioneer of putting together the right natural ingredients that work for your horse. And they have a product to address just about everything. You know, like this weekend, we are going to Coconino to go schooling. And Jeff's going to do his first training level schooling. And you can bet your butt that Equine Chill will be on board. Just something to make him focus a little bit. And then,
yeah,
that would be the time
supplement.
That a meteor would land in northern Arizona again and just be crazy. So he will be wearing the Equine Chill in his belly. So they've got something for everyone. Check him out at omegaalpha.ca. That is omegaalpha.ca.
Well, thank you, Jamie. Well, our first guest today is Carrie Vaught. She is from the United States Hunter-Jumper Association, and she's coming on to talk to us about a program that Jennifer came across that we found fascinating, and the program is called Clinic in a Box. Good morning, Carrie.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're great. So thank you so much for coming on the show today, and I was reading over this, and I thought, this is pretty cool, because so many farm owners want to do clinics, but if you've never done it before, you really don't know how to do it right and to make it work, do you?
Yeah, and that's exactly what this is for. It was developed for those people who want to be have an affiliated clinic with the organization but haven't quite started yet. Most of our clinics in their program have been planned. They have a clinician, they have everything set, and they just want to promote the clinic online. For those who haven't quite gotten there, this document is perfect for them to figure out the benefits and the costs and the timeline of creating that clinic.
How did it come up with the name Clinic in a Box? I love that, by the way.
To be honest, I'm not sure. This was created before my time, but it's a great document to send to prospective hosts.
Now, what it does is it gives you everything basically that you need to know about starting your own clinic, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right.
And one of the things I liked about it is that it gives you the timeline of tasks. It gives you the estimated cost. By the way, it's darn expensive to do a clinic.
Yeah, it is. And
wow.
Yeah, it really is. And I hope that some clinic riders can get a chance to look at this and understand where their money is going, because $300 to $400 to ride in a clinic does sound like a lot of money, but it's covering many, many high costs. And I think that they might not quite understand how their money is being divvied up to the other expenses that the host has to cover.
I mean, and you guys cover everything in here. When I'm looking at just the cost of the clinic, by the way, it came out to like $7,700 in your estimate here to do a 2-day clinic. And
yeah.
That's, you know, and that's amazing. But you guys go down to the Port-a-John rental and the microphone rental and, you know, everything. I mean, you really do cover everything in this that somebody needs to think about if they're thinking about putting one of these on at their farm.
Yeah, and a host does need to think about all of those costs. It's not just the clinician fee or just the food. It's everything that goes into it. The EMT, like you said, the Port-a-John rental, stabling, shavings for the horses. It's really everything that goes into that event.
And, you know, with clinics nowadays, too, one of the things that you really have to, it may not contribute to the cost, but it contributes to the time a good bit, is marketing it. You know, if you don't have the riders there at your clinic, especially when you get to the lower level clinics where they may not have the networks that other people have, that the higher level riders have, you really, the marketing can take up a lot of time.
Yeah, and that's where USHJA comes in with our clinics program, is we help provide some of that marketing. We post the clinics on our directory of clinics, which is available to anyone in the public. You don't have to be a member to see that directory. We also send the clinic calendar to all of the members of the organization in a bi-monthly e-update, and this goes out to 36 to 40,000 members. So it's a great marketing tool for these hosts to use when they apply to put their clinic in our directory.
I like, too, that you do give a timeline in here, and really the timeline starts that 9 to 12 months out for starting a clinic, and you don't think it would be that far out, but it really is when you take a look at all the things that are here on your list.
Yeah, it's a big event to plan, even if it's just 2 days, even if it's a one-day clinic. There's a lot involved, and so this timeline is very helpful for those hosts to figure out where they need to start planning their event.
And, you know, with the clinicians, too, most of them, you're going to need to book it a year out anyway, or you're not going to do them.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
So have people utilized this? Has it been used?
Yes, it has been used. Like I said, most of the clinic hosts who applied to post their event in our directory already have everything planned, but we do get new hosts who've never planned a clinic before. So I always point them to this document because it is very helpful. It breaks everything up piece by piece to what I think is a very easy-to-read manner. And then I'm sure there are plenty of people who run across this document without calling me first, and so I don't know how many people use it, but I would hope that it's a lot.
How many clinics does the USHJA have posted there a year? Do you know? It must be a ton.
Oh, gosh. It is. Off the top of my head, I would say between 10 and 20 a month.
Wow.
So it adds up throughout the year.
Yeah, that definitely does. And is this free? Is this something that anybody can get?
I'm sorry?
Is this free? Is this something anybody can get?
It is not necessarily free. Effective this year, it is free if either the clinician or the host is a certified trainer, which is a USHJA certification, or an Olympian. If the clinician or the host is not a certified trainer or not an Olympian, then there's a $50 fee to process their application and post their events online. One of the other benefits of the clinic's program is USHJA provides little gifts and goodies for the riding participants, like mints for the horses. SmartPak is our sponsor for this program. They send out catalogs to the riding participants and SmartPak samples to everybody. So it's not just a promotion. It's also giving little prizes to the participants.
Cool.
Now,
and Jamie.
Sorry, Glenn. I love the fact that even you guys kind of help with the marketing aspect of it, because what are the biggest challenges that people putting on clinics face?
It really is the marketing. The clinic's directory brings in anyone from all over the country. So let's say I'm going on a vacation to California for a week, and I want a ride, but I don't know any trainers out there. If I see a clinic in California where I live in Kentucky, I can sign up for that clinic. I know about it countrywide. So it provides a national recognition and promotion for these events, so anybody knows about them.
So you think that the hardest part of putting on a clinic is just getting people around? Because I know, like, in my area, there's always clinics for, you know, the adult riders. And like I said, my sport is eventing, but the adult riders and the, you know, the young riders all have a clinic. And it's always the same, like, little niche group of people that go to these things. So expanding that would be important. Now, do you guys help with any other sports? Is it all hunter-jumper stuff, or are you branching out to dressage or to jumpers or anything like that?
The clinics are predominantly hunter-jumper clinics. To be honest, I don't recall seeing anybody apply for a dressage clinic, so I'm not sure if we would necessarily turn them away. We do have a lot of educational clinics that are not discipline-related, such as veterinary clinics or legal or just horse care in general or judging. So we're not trying to discriminate for or against any specific discipline, but since we are a hunter-jumper organization, they are predominantly hunter-jumper clinics.
Sure, sure, yeah. I'm just like, I think expansion. I think growth. Let's make this thing bigger. Yeah, no, I think it's great. I love what you guys are doing. It's great.
Great, thank you.
Where can people find out more?
They can go to ushja.org. There is a programs tab, and then just click clinics, or they can contact me directly. My information is on the USHJA website, and I am more than happy to direct anybody to the website.
All right. Jennifer has posted a link to that also on our Facebook page, so you can find it there as well. Thank you, Carrie, for stopping by and telling us about Clinics in a Box. Appreciate it.
Thank you guys very much. Have a good morning.
All right. You too, Carrie.
Bye.
I've never done a clinic in a box. I bought a bed in a box one time, but never did a clinic in a box. So now let's take a break for our song, and then we're going to come back. We have some more news before we get to Victoria from Horse and Country TV with the European Report. Boy, there was a lot happening in England over the weekend that we want to hear about. Queen was busy this weekend, so we'll get to her in just a moment. But first, I have a new song for you, Jamie. This is one from Dan Roberts called If They Only Knew a Cowboy.
Hey, Daddy, please help me. I sure need a hand. You see, I'm saddling up, but my pony won't stand. He's backed in the corner and he's kicking the wall. But since Mom moved that toy box, he's a little too tall. With his boots on the wrong feet and his holster tied low. Saddlebag saddle and a blankie bedroll. A little toy rifle he'd made from a broom. He'll ride across the prairie right there in his room. And in his mind he's out driving a herd toward the rail, headed north out of Texas on the old Chisholm Trail. I'd love to ride with him, but that pony might bust. There's a little cowboy in all of us. I said, son, where you headed? He answered, out west. Well, there's word they need riders on the Pony Express. Hey, I might be a scout, Dad, or a sheriff on TV. Any outfit could use careful. Don't tie hard and fast. Take a deep seat if you're riding into the past. He said, I'll be back by supper, bedtime at most. He grabbed the reins, pulled his hat down, and he waved adios. And in his mind, he's out driving a herd toward the rail, heading north out of Texas on the old Chisholm Trail. I'd love to ride with him, go stir up some dust. There's a little cowboy in all of us. You know, as I step from his world back into my own, I thought, we're no different. He might be little and I'm grown, but we both dream about places that neither one of us have ever been. Heck, I'm 44. I'm still playing pretend. I wish I was out driving a herd for the rail, headed north out of Texas on the old Chisholm Trail. I'll bury my new spurs in the ground till they rust. There's not a little cowboy in all of us. Just a little cowboy in all of us.
Are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, and that was Dan Roberts, oldbootsmusic.com if you want to check him out, and If They Only Knew a Cowboy. And today's show is brought to you by Omega Alpha, so thanks to them for being a sponsor of today's show. Now, we've got a little bit of news for you before we do get basically head across the pond over there to Britain to talk to Victoria from Horse and Country TV. But I almost want you to watch the video that she's posted before we talk to her about it, because it is so good, Glenn. It's the one listed that's called Brilliant Recovery from a Fall. Have you seen that video yet?
No, I have not.
Oh, maybe, Jen, let's post that now so everybody can see it before she's talking about it. This is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. I mean, the fact that this person did this just is just ridiculous. So maybe we can post that one on Facebook now, if you don't mind, Jen, and then let everybody watch it before we talk about it, because it's so cool.
Oh my God, I'm just watching it now. You're right. Wow.
Oh,
their jump racing is a, what do they call this? What do they call it? Jump racing? What do they call it? People chasing.
Yeah, well, I think it's jump racing. Yeah, timber racing.
Timber racing. That's right. Oh my this rider goes all the way up over the guy's neck, or the horse's neck.
This rider falls off. I mean, it's a race where he's running, he's jumping, you know, and the guy falls off, basically, goes around almost to the front side of the horse's neck, climbs his way back on. The horse never stops. It just keeps galloping, just flat running, and the guy's, like, trying to get his stirrup as he's sitting on a horse that's at a dead run, jumping jump. It's just ridiculous. So you got to check that out.
Amazing. He saved himself some broken bones for sure.
Oh, man. As fast as they're going and doing that stuff, he could have died. So good for him for hanging in there.
You know what news we have? We have a lot of news about a race this weekend. What's coming up?
I don't know what you're talking about, Glenn.
You don't?
I don't know.
I'll help you. And the first story I have is about
him. I'll have another, takes the lead in the Derby, and up the line, I'll have another, wins the Derby.
Well, coming up for the Preakness this weekend. By the way, that is this weekend already. I'll Have Another is going to be running. Did you know that the Kentucky Derby winner has about a 33% chance of winning the Preakness, according to statistics from the past? And in the past 20 years, 19 Derby winners have gone to Pimlico, and 7 of them have won. So 7 out of 19 that have gone have won. So that's he's got about a 33% chance. His trainer says that this horse is doing fantastic. He's maintained his tremendous long stride, and he's skipping over the track as he did at Churchill Downs. I was confident before the Derby, and I'm just as confident here. All we need is a bit of luck to repeat. So trainer's feeling better about his horse than he is his suspension that's pending in California, which keeps coming up. The press keep bringing that up, and I think he's getting sick of answering that question.
Yeah, he kind of found them. But again, anybody who, you know, say you're running for president, they will find what you did in second grade when you stole, you know, a pencil from the store. They will bring it up. And this guy, not that this is the same thing at all, but when you are sitting on top, you know, they're going to dig out every single thing that they can about this guy and expose him and just, you know, they just hate people at the top. So he is contesting one of the incidents, and he says that it's a bummer. We love our horses. We play by the rules, and we're challenging a previous allegation. It's expensive, but we're confident we win. You know, his attitude about the whole thing, really, it's not like Rick Dutrow, the really shady trainer that has been getting in major trouble, who's really smug about the whole thing. This guy's like, listen, I'm doing what I can. I'm innocent, you know, so we'll see what happens. But he's also the guy that had Lava Man. Do you remember the story you told us?
Yeah.
It's the same guy. Lava Man, the horse that they claimed and then turned him into, like, he won like $5 million for this guy. And then he became a pony horse on the track. Kept him around. Like, I like heartwarming stories like that.
Well, they said there was about 500 people that followed Lava Man out of the barn the other morning, because Lava Man's also in Maryland right now. So they're getting quite the attention over there in Maryland. A matter of fact, he said so much attention, and he's a little worried about I'll Have Another and how he saddles in the saddling area, that he's going to saddle I'll Have Another inside, not outside in the saddling area, for the race on, is it Saturday? Yes. So
really?
He said he's much better if he does it inside. They've been practicing inside, so apparently that's what they're going to do. But he's going to have some competition, because guess who's in? Bodie Meister is in for the Preakness. Of course, Bodie Meister is the one that led the entire way in the Kentucky Derby till the very end. So he's going to have a run for his money, I think, with Bodie Meister. It'll be a challenge between those two.
Oh, definitely. I mean, but you know what they're saying is, like, he's like, I'll Have Another has the same speed Bodie Meister does. And, man, it's going to be, you know, I mean, if it was the length of the race that the Kentucky Derby was, that if the Derby was the length of the race that the Preakness is, Bodie Meister would have won in a flash, you know.
Yeah.
Because they've got that extra little stretch run there at the end. So, I don't know. It's going to be an interesting race. And you know who's not going to be at the Preakness? And I think this is so smart. Finally, I think they're doing the right thing. Hansen is not going to be in the Preakness. And I thought, oh, God, does that mean they're going to run him in the Belmont? My God, Hansen does not need to run in the Belmont. Because all along, and I know that Frankie talked about this too, Frankie Lovato, former jockey, was that this horse seems to be a sprinter. He's done so well in the short races, nothing over a mile. And they have now said, the owner, Dr. Kendall Hansen, with Sky Chai Racing, they have said that he is going to run in the 7-furlong Woody Stevens Stakes. So I think that's going to be a great race for him. June 9th at Belmont Park. So he'll be at Belmont, but not running, from what it looks like, not going to run in the Belmont. So that's good. Woody Stevens Stakes, grade 2 stakes race.
Probably a wise move. And of course, everybody knows Hansen is, you know, is that beautiful white horse, but not quite as white as the one you're going to tell us about now.
Oh my gosh, this is cool. So you breed standardbreds, and you have a pretty standard bred, standard bred is Bay. It seems like they're all Bay. maybe some brown ones, you know, maybe a couple chestnuts here and there and splattered throughout. But a rare white standardbred was born to two bay parents. So you got a bay, you breed it to a bay, you think you're going to get a bay, and boop, out pops a rare white standardbred. So the colt was born on May 6th. I love standardbred names. The mare was named Coochie Mama. And daddy was Art Major. Coochie Mama and Art Major. The last rare white was born in 1998, and they named the horse Historically Unique. And that was in Ontario, Canada. So what a great name for a rare white. So it would be interesting to see what they name this one. But apparently it is a genetic mutation. It's spontaneous genetic mutations. And they don't even really understand how it works, but the horse is a mutation. So I would name, what would you name a rare white genetic mutation, Glenn?
Boy, there's a lot of tempting names, especially with the was it the mare that had that name?
Coochie Mama.
Coochie Mama. I don't know. This is a white, white horse. I don't think there's anything that's not white on this horse. The pink ears, maybe.
Yeah, he said he has like a little bit of pink on his between his ears, and that's it.
That's it. The tail, I mean, everything. Mane. So the last
right.
one born was in 98?
1998, but...
Wow.
And that was apparently there hadn't had one for a long time before that. So maybe we should post this picture on Facebook. Post the story and see what everybody would name it. That's what I want to know. That's my question
right.
of the day is what would you name? You what?
Boy, that's a tough one. Well, the tempting name is White Lightning or something like that. It's a fast one.
White Lightning. I love
that's
it.
My that's Good the one. First name that came to mind was White Lightning.
I don't know. I'd name it something crazy like Super Mutant or like
Super
X-Men.
Some like Super
X-Men
Mutant.
Name.
I like Super Mutant. Though. That's pretty good.
All right. Ask the listeners.
All right. We'll ask the listeners. Hey, we posted the picture on Friday of our really bad ads picture of the week. Did you see how many comments that thing got?
No. Was it popular?
70 and was shared like 80 times. I mean, and that's the most commented on picture we posted for really bad ads in a long time. And that was the one of the horse trailer. That was the one of the horse trailer, let's say. You can go to our Facebook page and scroll down and see it. But there were some really funny comments. If you haven't looked at that yet, you need to check it out. It was really funny. But now, before we get to Victoria, I wanted to tell you, you know, we were just talking about Doug O'Neill, who is the trainer of I'll Have Another. Doug O'Neill has done something really incredible to help out a little one, and I want to tell you about it because it's a heartwarming story. It's a story that kind of got lost in the Kentucky Derby, and that story is about a little 12-year-old girl, and her name is, let me see here, her name is Hope. And Hope is battling a rare disease and wanted, through the Make-A-Wish Foundation, to go to the Kentucky Derby and to meet a thoroughbred. And what they did is they arranged for her to go there. This was before the race. And they arranged for her to meet I'll Have Another and to meet Doug O'Neill. And they spent some time together. And Doug actually took time in the lead up to the Kentucky Derby to spend time with this little 12-year-old from Missouri. And 3 days later, Hope and her family were part of the victory celebration. Actually, Doug O'Neill invited the girl to the victory party, invited the girl and the family to the after party. So they got to spend a lot of time with them, which was really, really cool. And apparently, Doug has grown quite fond of little Hope. And they are now considered part of the team. Because Doug called him up and said, we want you to come to the Preakness. So her
Aww.
And her family are also going to go watch the Preakness in the owner's box right there. And they're going to get to see the Preakness. And they will be part of the victory celebration if they win the second leg. So apparently Hope was very excited. She squealed. and laughed and then cried when she got the call from Doug, and she said that she hasn't been able to get the smile off her face the rest of the time. So, you know, Make-A-Wish Foundation is an incredible organization, but it takes people like Doug O'Neill to really take time to make those wishes work, and I got to give him a round of applause for taking the time to make Hope's life a little bit better with what he did there. It's a real
oh my God
story.
So did you read the part where he actually said to her, "Have you ever sat on $5 million before?" and put her on top of Lava Man?
Yes.
She got to ride Lava Man 11. Oh, what a good story. Okay, I knew I liked him.
Yeah, and apparently she was starting to feel bad. She was starting to have trouble with her disease. They never really clarify what it is, but good for them. Good for her, and I'm glad she gets to go. And let's hope we see her in the winner's circle, huh?
Yeah, oh, that would be great. That would be just absolutely awesome. So good for him and good for them, and just an amazing story. What a good story. Love it.
And do you remember Mark Valesky, the horse Mark Valesky that was pulled from the Kentucky Derby, the horse that was named after the pool boy at the owner's hotel they used to go on vacation to in Florida every year?
Yes.
Well, he ran in a race called the Peter Pan race. It was at Belmont Park on Saturday, and it was him that stole the whole show. And he stole it with the help of jockey Rosny Napravnik. It was actually riding him up there and apparently won the race and did quite well. And so they're feeling pretty good about old Mark right now, and I'm sure that the pool boy is feeling good too. And Rosie took down some money in that race, so I think that she's happy as well. He was a 6-5 favorite, running a mile and an eighth. So good job there, and I think we're going to see more about this horse as time goes on too.
Is that your prediction? Mark Valesky is going to be the next superstar.
Only because Rosie is riding him. That's the reason I'm keeping an eye on this horse.
You're not keeping an eye on the horse. You're keeping an eye on the rider. Don't lie.
It gives me a chance to talk about her every time. One more story, too, that I found interesting that I didn't know about is, have you ever heard the name Peter Fuller?
Peter Fuller. Is that like an old actor?
Yeah, it sounds like it, doesn't it? He's actually a New England car dealer who was best known for owning the 1968 Kentucky Derby winner Dancer's Image. Well, Peter died on May 14 after a lengthy illness. He was 89 years old. But there's an interesting part of this story that I didn't remember or know about, and that
Hold
was...
Hold on. I don't remember a Derby winner named Dancer's Image.
Well, there's a reason you don't remember a Derby winner, because that was the only Derby winner to ever be disqualified for drugs.
Really?
Yes. I didn't know there was one of these out there. Let's see. Dancer's Image defeated Calumet Farms Ford Pass in the 94th renewal of the Derby on May 14, 1968, but was subsequently disqualified after he tested positive for what? Bute. Tested positive
no
for
kidding.
Bute. Yeah, and the Kentucky Racing Commission ordered Dancer's Image disqualified and first place money awarded to Forward Pass. Fuller filed a legal action and actually won the legal action in lower court, but was later overturned by Kentucky Supreme Court. So, yeah, this happened all back in 1968. Now, Bute then became legal, then I think shortly after that, I think like in the 70s at that point. And he had some comments then that I read about after that. He was not happy that he had to give up his winning when then a couple of years later they made it legal anyway. So it was very interesting. I did not realize that we had a disqualified Kentucky Derby winner, Dancer's Image.
Well, you know what? They shouldn't have given it Bute if it was illegal. So I don't feel sorry
That's
for
true.
You if it was illegal. but drugs are going to be legal in 2015, officer. Okay, I should be able to take them now.
Good point. Good point. That's funny.
So at any rate,
Fatty passed away. We needed to get in here. I think that was it on the stories.
Yeah, I think so. So the one story that I didn't post in here is, I guess, if you go to the Kentucky Horse Park is in a sort of contest to win a car or a bunch of cars or something like that. I'm going to post the link right now because I didn't quite read all of it. But you can go and vote for the Kentucky Horse Park to win a truck, a brand new truck. It's one of 500 nonprofit finalists in Toyota's 100 Cars for Good program. It's a philanthropic initiative, which the automaker is giving 100 cars to 100 nonprofits over 100 days. So you can actually go and vote. 100carsforgood.com. 100, the number 100carsforgood.com. And members of the public can vote for whatever nonprofit they think. And runners-up will all receive a $1,000 cash grant. So the Kentucky Horse Park is one of the potential 100 Cars for Good. So we should. I'll go ahead and post that link on Facebook right now, and you can go on and vote. You can vote for whoever you want. I mean, whether the Kentucky Horse Park needs a new truck or whatever, I don't know. but they said that it can keep their park looking beautiful for their 1 million annual guests. So,
what a great idea.
Shout out to Toyota for doing something good like that, you know? 100 Cars for Good.
Of course, where we lived in Lexington, Toyota was the largest employer. There were 7,000 people that worked at the Georgetown plant there just north of Lexington. So Toyota, a lot of Toyotas are made here in the United States, and they really do, in the Lexington area, they put a lot of money back into the charities and into activities that are going on in Lexington. They're really good about that. I got to give them credit for that. Hey, tomorrow I got something fun for you. We went to a horse auction on Saturday after we dropped the kitties off and got through that. We went over to a horse auction they hold here once a month in Lexington, and it's not a meat auction or anything like that. This is actually some nicer horses, but they were mostly quarter horses, and some of them were interesting, and some went for $200, and some went for $6,000. But I got to tell you,
Let me stop.
Yeah?
Why on earth were you at a horse auction?
It was fun. It was just fun, something fun to do in the afternoon. So we go over there. And I got the program, and tomorrow I'm going to read to you some of the descriptions of some of these horses. You're going to love it. Some of these are right out of really bad ads. Some of these were funny. So I'm going to have that for you tomorrow. Yeah, the auction was fun, actually. We had a good time. All right, I think Victoria's on and ready to go.
Yeah, I guess that the only thing I would think of, Glenn, is that, you know, you said that you're just like me and you rescued a dear sweet bunch of kittens and you saved them, and then you said you're like me, and then you go to a horse auction and don't buy anything. You're stricken. No.
The one I liked, I did like a blue roan, and I'm not a gray kind of guy, but this blue roan was absolutely beautiful, and we all liked the blue roan. And apparently everybody else did, too, because it went for $6,000.
So you didn't bid. Did you at least sign up for a bidding card?
You didn't need to at that one. They made it so easy, you just raise your hand, and they get your money later. So you didn't need a bidding card at that one.
Thank God you didn't bid then. They'll chase you down. $6,000 sold to Glenn. Uh-oh. Oh, crap. All right, well, we've got our next guest on the line, and she sent us a minute. I hope all of you went on and watched the How to Avoid an Involuntary Dismount that we posted a minute ago. Victoria, you are bringing it this week, because that was an awesome video. Good morning, Victoria.
Good morning to you both.
Well, like I said, I wanted everybody to go look at it before you talked about it, the brilliant recovery from a fall. But we'll start with I've got to ask you about the Royal Windsor Horse Show. Were you there? Did you cover it? How was it? Uh-oh. Did we lose her?
Uh-oh. Victoria, are you there? I think Jennifer, you had lost her once before, didn't you? Oh, she's gone.
Yes, I think the sunspots have come to make our life difficult.
All right, we'll wait. She usually tries to give us a call back. We'll hope we can get her back on.
Oh, and, Jamie, I think that the Royal Windsor Horse Show was absolutely wonderful. I loved it. It was fantastic. Next question. Let's see. So Tim Stockdale actually had his first fall. Did you watch this video? This is the Tim Stockdale's dramatic 6-bar win. You can go to horseandcountry.tv to see any of these videos. This is ridiculous. This guy, Tim Stockdale, I'm just going to keep going until she calls back. Tim Stockdale is doing a six bar. Now, I didn't know what this was, but it's basically like gymnastics for a horse. It's like a jump, then a stride, and then a jump, and then a stride, and they do six in a row. And except for the fact that these are like six-foot fences. These are the most ridiculously high fences. Glenn, do you have that video in front of you?
I'm watching the commercial for the Spanish Riding School first. Good you didn't see that. You would have got all goosebumpy.
Oh, I'm going to watch it right now.
Apparently
no,
the Spanish Riding School comes on first. By the way, you do a great Victoria. Oh, there he goes. There's not much room between those jumps.
So there's like one stride in between these jumps or two strides. And he goes through this whole entire thing and goes to the jump off, and the jumps are even higher, and he goes the whole entire thing, and then he falls off after the whole thing.
Oh, my God, are those jumps high. Oh! Yep. There he went.
Yeah.
Those are high
jumps. And from what I can hear, this guy has fallen off before and broke his neck. Okay? Like, we're talking ridiculous. Two strides. Yeah, two strides. And this horse is jumping these, like, six-foot fences in a straight line in a grid, and he's like, cantering. And they're huge jumps, huge. They really know how to entertain over there in Great Britain. It's just awesome.
Here's Victoria. Let's try her again. Victoria, are you there?
I am there. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Let's hope you stay this time.
Sorry, it completely dropped out.
No worries. Well, we were just going over and watching Tim Stockdale's unbelievable. What kind of class is that where they're jumping these? Are they like six-foot fences that are six in a row? What is the six-bar class?
Yes, a six-bar, you can have up to six fences in a row. Quite often you'll have a single fence and then a row of five, depending on the size of the arena. And each time somebody goes clear, they put the fences up. So they get bigger and bigger in ascending order. And by the time they got to the end of that class, they were really quite huge. And as you saw in the video, Tim Stockdale jumped clear, landed, crossed the finishing line, and then fell off. So he still won despite having fallen off.
And now he has had a broken neck in the past, so you said?
He has. Recently, he had a bad fall in November, I think, last year, and he fractured three vertebrae in his neck. He was just trying a young horse for sale and happened to fall off and was really badly injured. So that was his first fall since returning to competition, and thankfully he got up and walked away and is none the worse for it.
Oh, because I saw this video actually online on another website before I read that he had a form of broken neck, and he's not a young guy. I mean,
no, he isn't anymore, but he's still remarkable and so determined, and he's keen to be up for Olympic selection, so he's getting back out there.
Oh, that's awesome. What a good story. So when we lost you, I was asking you about the Queen's Royal Windsor Horse Show. Did you go? Do you know of any coverage?
Yes, we were there for 2 days. It's a lovely show, and it's all held in the Queen's back garden, basically. And she comes down and wanders around and has a look at the horses, and it's always really special. And so that's where Tim Stockdale was competing when he fell off. And normally you have Windsor Castle in the background of the arena, but this year is the Queen's Diamond Jubilee. And so instead of Windsor Castle, they had a giant backdrop of Buckingham Palace, which is her other London residence. And that formed a huge big stage. And they had a massive pageant with 500 horses flown from around the world taking part.
Wow, that's just amazing. I mean, and we've been reading stories about horses and people that were going to go. So is it over now? Is it complete?
It is indeed. I think it was on for 5 nights, ending in a very sort of special gala evening with lots of celebrities there. And it was just remarkable to see. And they flew in horses from around the world. And Some people borrowed horses. I think the Mounties might have borrowed horses, but other ones took their own. And the amount of logistics of getting them there and getting them into the country to take part in this display was quite mind-boggling.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. Now, we'll move on a little bit and talk about the Chatsworth horse trials were canceled, but I did read, and so are you, is it still raining over there?
It's showery today. We're not having a great May at all. We were very lucky that Windsor was able to go ahead, although they did lose a few classes that were on the grass arena, but the ones that were held on the surface were fine, and the show organizer did an amazing job getting the Laurie Park running because it was really wet and muddy, and every horse and country were in her wellies for the weekend. But Chatsworth was another one that fell victim, and to put it into context, badminton is, you know, one of the big four stars and one of the most famous events in the world. But Chatsworth is a big international competition. Lots of people compete from overseas. And it was one of the events that were going to be used for Olympic selection. So we've now lost badminton and Chatsworth. And the selectors have had to say, no, we'll have to delay the announcement until we've seen them compete a few more times.
Well, now I did read that Bramama is going to extend their entries. Like they're going to invite 100 more horses, or at least allow 100 more horses to sign up for the competition?
They are indeed, and they're going to run a second day of cross country. So fair play to them for doing their best to give everybody a chance to run, because all the eventers, and I don't know if you've been following Eventing Live on Twitter, but they're all going stir crazy. They're all on box rest and they want to get out and have a run. So yeah, got to feel sorry for them.
Yeah, well, at least this gives everybody an opportunity. Can you imagine the tough competition that's going to be going on at that International Horse Show? I mean, my God, you got 2 days of cross country. Is that what you said they're going to do?
Yes, and I haven't heard of that before throughout different levels. Yeah, it's going to be quite remarkable. A lot of horses to get through.
The 3-day event is going to become a 5-day event, a 6-day event.
Well, I mean, 60, because if you're going to run that many in cross country, I mean, how many show jumping rings do you have going, and how many dressage rings and everything? So that's going to be crazy. Well, so what else is happening over there? Anything?
Well, having had the cancellation of badminton, the FEI have made a program for to replace it, basically called Badminton the Last Decade. So if you want to relive previous badmintons and you're living in the UK, do watch out for that this week on Sky 280. It'd be nice to remember some of the golden years of recent badmintons, since we don't have one this year to talk about. And if you want to watch something online, we've got a really nice video, which is Charlotte Dujardin, who we talked about last week, who broke the world record for a Grand Prix special and smashed Totilacy's record by 3%. And we've got highlights from the test, we've got the build-up, and we've got the tears and joy after she broke the world record. So it's a really sweet video, part of our upcoming series, Carl and Charlotte Dressage Superstars. So go ahead to our website. Everyone can watch it, and it's on there under horseandcountry.tv videos.
And again, horseandcountry.tv, go check it out. You can watch all of the Tim's Stockdale, Six Bar Win. You can watch the most amazing, brilliant recovery from a fall. We were talking about this before because I wanted Glenn to see it beforehand. Who is this? This in this timber racing race?
He's quite a new jockey, so he's not one that I know very well. And because you guys don't have jump racing to quite the same level that we do, I mean, jump racing is huge over here, and it's as popular as flat racing, and it is basically our winter sport, and then flat racing is our summer sport. And so we have things like this happening quite a lot, but I thought that one was particularly special.
This horse is galloping. The guy actually falls off, like goes around like to the front of the horse, almost pulls himself back up. The horse never misses a beat. That's how much these horses like their job. Okay, they're like, he just keeps going, and this guy is flopping around on him, fixing his stirrup again, going at full-on speed in jump racing. It's just crazy. So that guy definitely gets the American High Five. All right.
He was very impressive. There was another one I saw quite recently, and I'll try and dig it out to show on you guys on Facebook. And the jockey came off, but had one foot still in the stirrup and the other leg on the same side of his horse, and managed to swing his leg back over and continue. So these jump jockeys are acrobats as well as athletes. They're quite incredible.
No kidding. That's just absolutely amazing. Well, Victoria, as always, it's been a pleasure having you on. Everybody check it out at horseandcountry.tv, and they're on Facebook. You can find them there too. So, again, thanks for coming on and giving us these awesome videos.
My pleasure. Have a great week.
Thanks,
all right,
Victoria.
Stay dry.
I'll try.
All right.
Wow, you know, when we got her on, she was the best sound quality we've had in the entire time we've had her on.
I know. Once she stuck around a little bit.
Well, that's it for today. We're going to be back again tomorrow morning. We can talk about some of these horses we saw at the auction. That'll be kind of fun. And the descriptions they gave them. And then we have a bunch more. We have guests lined up for the rest of the week that are a lot of fun. So we look for Jamie's going to be here for this week and part of next week, and then she's out of here off to vacation. So we'll see if we can keep her attention the next couple of days. I think I'm going to need a buzzer, an alarm. Or, you know what, if she starts going into I'm on vacation mode, I'll just call her. We'll bring her back.
You can't play that after Saturday. That sound is finished after Saturday. Okay? No mas.
Okay. I promise I won't play it after Saturday. I'll find a new annoying song to play next week. Maybe next week I'll just play this to wake you up. Get your attention. I could do that.
You know, you should just play the Zenyatta song. I mean, seriously. Or just do this, you know?
Don't tempt me. Don't tempt me. Say goodbye, Jamie.
All right, goodbye, everybody. Have a great day, spay, neuter, and geld.
And I'll have enough. Saturday, I'll have enough.